Russell Dorsey, National MLB Insider for Yahoo Sports.
For Cubs fans, you want to be playing games in September that matter. You want to be heading into the next season with your arrow pointing up.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+.
Actions speak louder than words. Specifically, Jerry Reinsdorf saying, you know what? I don't know any of y'all. And I'm not going to even go through the process. I'm going to pick the guy right now that I want to be the general manager of the Chicago White Sox.
Insider and analyst on MLB Network.
What's up, Russ?
Russell Dorsey with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
Russell Dorsey is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. And he is with us on the Score Hotline that is brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. What's up, Russ?
What's up, guys? How are we feeling?
We are feeling pretty good. How about you, sir?
I am I'm feeling refreshed. I just got done with a 4-mile run out here in beautiful Pasadena, California. So things are good.
Oh, that's a great place to run. Are you by the Father of the Bride house in that neighborhood? Like the Dodgers and whatever, the Padres would play the Dodgers, they'd always stay at the Langham, and that was always the hotel, and it was in that same neighborhood where that house was.
I imagine it's over here.
Yeah.
Right off Los Robles, the main street out here.
I'd have to look. It's a nice, slightly hilly neighborhood that's good to run in.
Well, speaking of California teams, there's a couple that might be making some moves, and Dodgers. The Padres always seem like a team that are willing to make moves. Where are they a week before the deadline?
I would be shocked if the Padres don't try to do something big. I think the thing we know about AJ Preller is if there's a move to be made, he's going to be leaving no stone unturned to try to improve his team. And I think when you look at where they are in terms of the postseason, they have one of the wild card spots. And I think for them, they just kind of need the players that they have on their roster to play better. Like Manny Machado has not had a Manny Machado type year. Now he's been playing through some injuries, but you expect in the second half, Manny plays better. You're going to get Fernando Tatis Jr. back at some point, who is playing all-star caliber baseball. Xander Bogaerts is starting to look like the Xander Bogaerts that they thought they had from Boston when they signed him to a $280 million deal. But I just think you're going to be looking for starting pitching depth. Every contender is looking for starting pitching depth and top end starting pitching. And I imagine we're going to talk about Garrett Crochet here in a couple of minutes too. So I don't think there's any NL contender right now, especially in a mediocre National League, that's not going to be looking to make a big splash to up their chances.
Then let me stay in that division. There have been a lot of people who have made the match between the Dodgers and the White Sox and saying they'll not only will they go get Garrett Crochet, they'll try and get Luis Robert too, because they're the Dodgers, and why not? What makes sense for the Dodgers to do, and what are you hearing about Garrett Crochet?
The Robert thing to me seems very pie in the sky, especially if you're going to include those guys in the same deal. Like, I have always believed that the diversifying the assets is probably a better way to go. And that's the way most GMs do it, or in most executives that I've talked about like to do things, where you feel like you get a better return separating those two guys. Now, if they blow you away with a deal, they blow you away with the deal. But I think in terms of starting pitching, that's where the Dodgers are going to make their big splash. So whether that's Garrett Crochet, whether that's Tarik Skubal, and I think the fact that that has been floated out there and that is something that's seriously being considered, I think that affects the Garrett Crochet market, right? Because you have two guys that are, you know, Skubal's probably the front runner. Crochet, if the season ended today, would be a top five finisher for AL Cy Young. So you have two of the best starting pitchers in the game available with 2 years of control after this season. There are some teams putting together some packages to try to acquire those two guys. And so I think the Dodgers are going to be in on both of them. Who they land, I guess we'll find out here in the next 7 days. But I think the fact that Skubal is on the market makes this entire week that much more interesting.
You know, it says a couple of things, I think, Russ. Number one, that the Tigers are similar to the White Sox. They're developing talent, and their best players tend to get dealt still. And that is it's just sad when you look at the bigger picture of how this all fits together in baseball. But the other piece of this, too, is I think he does set the market. But we're already seeing a pullback on pitches that Garrett Crochet is throwing. Yesterday, he only threw 74. This is a guy who's topped 100 in his pitch counts prior to the All-Star break.
And that start right before the All-Star break, he only threw 2 innings.
Yes, indeed. So there is already some adjustment there, and I don't think that's just because there's a limit to what he can do this season compared to what he did last. I think that's partially to save what they think is their biggest asset for the deadline.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're conserving the asset. Like, if Garrett Crochet didn't start yesterday, I wouldn't be shocked by that either, knowing what we know and knowing that he's going to be moved. I think when I've talked to executives in the last week about Tarik Skubal being on the market, it's you kind of get a split of the thought processes, right? Like, it's some are just like, okay, I can understand when you see what the White Sox could potentially get for Crochet, with the fact that there's not elite starting pitching available, having a guy that good with 2 years of club control, you could rack up in terms of the return. On the other side, you have a guy that you drafted in the 9th round that you turn into what will likely be the AL Cy Young winner in the, you know, and why not just say, we're going to build around this guy? Because the one thing we know about the Tigers, they do have, you know, money to spend. Like, they haven't really been afraid to spend money in their history. And I know they have some pieces there where you're like, okay, Riley Green's a dude, right? Colt Keith, who they gave a long extension to before he even made his debut in the big leagues. He's starting to look like the guy they believed in. And then you have some young players. You're not that far away in the AL Central. Then again, like, maybe you feel like you are that far away. And if you're Scott Harris and Jeff Greenberg, you want to build something for a long time and just continue to compile assets and turn yourself into the Baltimore Orioles, where you say, all right, now we have the best farm system in baseball and deep pockets where we can go get whatever we want.
I'm going to go Barry Horowitz here, give myself a pat on the back, because I remember at the beginning of the season, I had made a remark to one of the best baseball writers that I know, Russ Dorsey. And I said, you know, Russ, these Kansas City Royals are pretty good. And one of my favorite baseball writers in America, Russ Dorsey, was like, I'm not buying it, Lawrence. I'm not buying it. Are you buying it now?
All right. So I'll tell you what I told you then. I believe in their starting pitching, and I believe in Bobby Wood Jr. I've been right on both.
Can he be the MVP? I mean, I know he's still a half a win behind Aaron Judge, but he's closing in, man. He keeps putting up great days.
So going into yesterday, he was the leader in F War.
Mm-hmm.
So he's right there. Like, it's him, Gunner, and Judge would probably be the top three in the American League. They have to make the postseason, or like that last week of the season. Like, that's what has to happen for him to win the award. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's on the stand, right? As of today, he is on the stand. But for him to actually win it, they would have to make it to the postseason.
What does the Yelich injury do for the Brewers right now, especially considering the proximity to the deadline?
Yeah, that sucks. Because that's a guy who had started to look like the old Yelich when he was in that conversation of best player in baseball. And he had been such a force for that team, and everything just kind of worked for them. Like, they were a well-oiled machine. If you're Matt Arnold, now you're starting to look and like, all right, well, do we need to go out and get an outfielder? Right? Do we go get Jesse Winker or a left-handed bat like that to plug in if we lose Christian Yelich for a while? And you know, with backs, and he's had back injuries before.
And he's going to see a specialist. Like, this thing could be real serious.
Yeah. So, like, you're starting to make phone calls, right? And you have to plan for the worst, assuming that you won't have Christian Yelich for a while. It's not great. It's not great if you're the Brewers, but the thing that they've afforded themselves is time and leeway, because they've been able to basically run the table in the National League Central. And so now you're going to be able to look around and say, all right, what is the right player, the right fit for this team? Because they also need starting pitching. You know, to me, I think that's another area where you feel like you need to make some improvements. Devin Williams is going to come back in the next week or so. So I think that's something that helps them a lot. But yeah, starting pitching and an outfielder is where I would improve if I'm the Brewers.
Is there any chance that the Pirates do anything to add? Because that's kind of been their whole thing is we do it on the cheap, but now they're above 500, barely, but above 500. They're in the wild card race. Is if there was ever a time for the Pirates to do something, it would be now.
I can't believe it. Like, everything you say right there is true. They're in a wild card race. If they're in a 3-game series to run Skeens, Jared Jones, and Mitch Keller out there, you're like, yo, I feel really good about our chances. Last night, you saw what the Pirates' problem is. Paul Skeens can go out there and throw 8 1/3 innings of 2-run ball, and you're going to lose a 2-1 ball game, right? Like, they just don't score enough. I don't believe that they're going to go out and get the piece that they need, the impact player that they need to really be a serious player in the NL, you know, wild card race. And like, I think they'll be there because of that pitching until August, maybe fade in September. But I can't believe it until I see it that they're going to make an impactful move, right? They're going to make some move on, you know, the perimeters to try to say, hey, we improved a little bit, but it's not going to be enough to really to do damage.
We haven't talked at all about the NL East, and I still think that's where a lot of movement happens in this trade deadline. Like, I don't think the Phillies stand pat. Do you?
No, I think that if they wanted to, sure. Like, but I think this is the year, if you're the Phillies, you're like, no, we could actually go and win the World Series this year. Like, we've been the bridesmaid before, and, you know, they got to the World Series. They have these talented rosters, but I would imagine that they're trying to make a big move. Everything you know about Dave Dombrowski and Sam Fultz, since they've been together, they're not afraid to make the big moves. I think Atlanta, when you look at the season they've had, like, it's just, things just have not gone well for them on the injury front. You lose Spencer Strider, you lose Acuna to another torn ACL. Michael Harris II isn't close to coming back. You know, you lose Ozzie Albies again to the fractured wrist. Whit Merrifield, the day he gets signed, is fielding ground balls and splits his fingernail. It's just like, anything that can go wrong has gone wrong for Atlanta. But that's another team that is going to be looking to make an impactful move. They need some starting pitching as well, you know, with Freed going on the IL. So the Atlanta Braves, I think we believe in them so much because they've been there so much over the last 4 or 5 years. But they need some of the guys, you know, on their roster to really step it up. Matt Olson, Austin Riley, who's been playing better baseball here over the last couple of months. They need those guys to be the impactful players. And then if you're Alex Anthopoulos, now you can say, okay, what are the other areas of need we have? Like, you can't fill 9 spots, right? So you need your guy that hit 54 home runs last year to walk like you saw him do last year, to get on base, to drive in runs. And if you don't have him do that, you're going to be playing at a deficit.
I know this wasn't a major headline, but Mike Trout left his rehab assignment that began yesterday after 2 innings because his knee was sore, and now they're saying he's day-to-day. He hasn't played in a big league game since April, and it's sad how quickly his body seems to be deteriorating. And for somebody who was the greatest baseball player who ever lived when he was at the peak of his powers, it's just too bad. And we start talking about his WAR number and where he was on pace to pass this guy and on pace to pass this guy. It's why we always have to be careful with things like that, because it's at some point your just biology tells you your time is short.
Yeah, it sucks for a guy. Then I was with some baseball people last night when that broke, and it was just like, oh man, it's disappointing as somebody who just loves the game of baseball and loves watching that guy play. The things that he does when he's on the field are insane. Like, a couple years ago, he hit 40 home runs in like 475 ABs. Like, you're not supposed to be able to do that. So just talk about the talent that guy has. It's unfortunate. And you find yourself going, have we seen the end of the run? Right. Like, he's still not old yet. You know what I mean? Like, there's still time for him to be a really productive player into his 30s. But the fact that he hasn't played 140 games in like 5-6 years now, that matters. And I think to me, the real conversation you're going to have if you're the Angels is you're going to have to move them out of center field. Like, I think that's something that
Madden tried. He blew the optics and the politics of it. Madden wasn't wrong in that.
Yeah. He should have talked to Mike first before he said that. I think now that we look at where Mike's career and where Mike's body is, you're better served having him play a corner where you take that pressure off of him, because that'll be something that is going to be able to extend his career. Like, I think Bryce Harper is going to have a great second half.
It reminds me. Yeah. It's a lot like Ken Griffey.
When you move Harper off of, you know, out of the outfield, I think that is one of the best things to ever happen to Bryce Harper, right? Obviously, Hoskins goes down, you move Bryce to first base, and you're going to be able to get the best out of Bryce Harper's bat, the duration of that contract, because you're not worrying about him running into stuff and running around these big outfields that we have in the big leagues.
Russ, you're the man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Russ.
That's Russell Dorsey talking baseball with us. We will do so, getting you ready for the Cubs and the Brewers rubber match. As they say, I believe that comes from bridge, that term. But we will also bring you some optimistic news on the Cubs front that we just got breaking here. So that's next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Wants us out at 38:30.
I don't know. It was only said to us about seven times.
That's about as many times as we need.
Okay, so
said,
let's peel back the curtain a little bit.
Listen,
if you guys don't break on time and we're late, whose fault is that?
Yours,
mine,
100%.
So I clarify multiple times.
Yeah, that's why I said we probably need it.
I'm not going to take
do
your
what
mocking.
They do in TV, just cut off with the commercial. Automated.
I'm not turned saying his it's back not on Western.
Fault.
He's muscling up on us.
I'm not saying
it's a whole
it's not
new
our
studs
fault.
Today.
It just like to get yelled. He's like 38:30. You got that? Out time 38:30.
All right, 38:30 on two.
No, the problem is none of you guys were looking at me and acknowledging it. So I say it multiple times.
You are
well,
acknowledged.
I can't. I'm blocked by a sheet of paper.
Not specifically you.
You
like,
are
I understand
acknowledged,
that.
Studs. We acknowledge
there.
You.
Acknowledge
and your ministry. And ministry.
Let me just say members of ministry.
Well, there's one that I don't want to acknowledge. But.
Who, Al Jorgensen? I've heard some issues there. I've heard he could be difficult.
I don't even know who you guys are talking about.
Oh.
Chicago's own member of ministry. So let's hear from Craig Counsell. And he led off his press conference by giving us some news that is sounds welcome.
I don't have a report on it. He just finished up about 15 minutes ago, so I don't have a report yet. But you know, back out here and progressing.
Is he close enough to work being activated in Kansas City would be a possibility?
I don't think we're at like picking a day to be active. I think certainly on the road trip. Yeah.
Talking about
I would say that's as specific as I'd be right now, the road trip, yeah.
And then just I know timelines are tough, but I know you had mentioned Al's lie maybe like 10-ish days behind Merriweather a couple weeks ago. Is he still trending?
Yeah, I would say a little more than that. Okay. He's he pitched in Arizona last night, and so he will go to an affiliate for his next outing, which will be Saturday.
Depending on the time of the year, would the Amaya at bat in the ninth inning be different if there were different circumstances? In other words, you know, he's progressed so well, you know, he's hitting the ball hard. So is that a decision depending on circumstance sometimes?
Well, yeah, look, so the decision there is like you're saying the decision is a player that you think is hot or swinging it good and then a better platoon matchup. Sometimes that's a decision you make, right?
But also the growth of the player. So depending on the time of the year and what the circumstances of the ball club is.
I'm not sure what you're getting at.
It's September, you're 10 games ahead or 10 games behind. Amaya's hitting the ball hard.
Well, I mean, I mean, we're not in September, so that's a different day to make the decision.
I mean, you asked me, you know, where my, I'm asking whether it could be a different decision depending on the time of the year.
I don't know how to answer that. I'm not sure how to answer that one. Yeah. I mean,
that's fair.
I mean, I think
you have to be in
at certain points, like do at certain points. We're trying to win the games at certain points is there development that you'd consider? Yeah, absolutely.
What? Am I the only one confused by this?
For the first time in like 3.5 months, is how do you feel like
what
you did in that first outing and getting back?
Who said what?
Yeah,
the hell
I mean, he did good. I mean,
here.
It probably wasn't the ideal spot that we wanted to put him, but we were down in levers yesterday. We needed to get some guys. We had some guys, multiple guys down yesterday. And look, he pitched good. He left the slider just a little up and in the strike zone, unfortunately. But threw the ball well. Velocity was good. Kind of looked like himself, I guess, best way to say it.
With J-Mo, he's talked about how now the way he evaluates outings is like going through afterwards, pitch by pitch, saying, did I execute? Yes,
yeah.
No. Like, what advantages are there to that type of evaluation and getting away from results?
Well, because it's kind of like things that you those are the things that you control. He controls the execution of the pitch. That's so he's trying to go over and improve on the things that he can control, and I think that's a pretty good way to go about it. It's hard to go about it that way because you have to take all the emotion of the results out. But it's a pretty good way to go about it.
All right, hold on. So Bellinger's going to be okay. He's coming back soon. There's going to be
Alzolay's going to need some more time,
a rehab with an affiliate, and then somebody in the background screamed, "What the hell is going on here?" And then Bruce asked a question, and then
Craig was like, "Well, it's not September."
Counsel didn't understand the question, and then he rephrased the question, and then he said he couldn't answer the question because I don't think he still understood the question. That was sort of a surreal press conference, wasn't it?
That was the most chaotic thing I've heard in a while.
Let's play with the dimensions a little bit here. It was probably a security guy, right? That was yelling, "What the hell's going on here?"
I have no idea. No, why would a security people typically don't act that like? They're not busting through all the things happening to say something. No, that had to be somebody either. Player,
on the team?
Coach, something.
And it didn't sound like Willie.
And then Craig Counsell, to me, has a natural, not that he is, but can seem bewildered as it is. So, like, there are times where, like, there's a lean into it. And I could totally see Craig Counsell being like, what? Well, wait a second. But it's not September, so.
Here's what I'm interested
in. Like, the confusion is at a high level.
I'm interested in seeing how Craig himself gets covered over the next couple of weeks.
Somebody on the text line said Craig's going to age like the president this year.
Because I have a feeling that there's going to be, the honeymoon is over, I think, for some people.
That's a bad take.
Perhaps that's one of
those
people.
That was the indication to me. That was the first crack in the fissure.
That's a good take.
When a team is underperforming, you tend to look to the manager, especially when it's the highest paid manager in the game for whom you fired your previous and well-liked manager.
I do think, though, that all of us are, and when covering baseball, it's such a grind that I think that maybe even the people covering the team are bewildered, to use the word you use, Layla.
Not confused, if that makes sense.
You know what? I think you noted it, too, in what Megan Montemurro wrote, that there was
an edge.
A paragraph with a little bit of snark.
Some edge
you
to
know,
it.
And the thing is, if you travel with a team or you cover a team on a day-in, day-out basis, you're going to have exchanges like what he had happen with Jesse. Like, that is a day in, day out thing. It's just a matter of them being on a mic or not.
I love Jesse, but he could have, I know what he was getting at, and there was a way to get at it without doing it the way that he did it. And he would have gotten, I think, a much better response. from it. Because the question that he asked was valid. Like, the premise of the question that he asked was valid. It was just the wording of it. And when you throw a little hyperbole into your question, that allows anyone who's answering the question to push back at you.
Yeah, but it just wasn't as dramatic as it sounded to me. Like, if you're spending every day with the same people, that kind of stuff is going to happen.
The Cubs are 49-54. Their third order record based on runs scored and runs allowed is above 500 at 52.6 and 50.4, which is the second best number in the division based on run differential.
So doesn't that mean that we have to look at the manager?
Did you look at the manager last year when they also had the same issue?
Yes, we did.
All right.
That was one of the things where the justification.
Overperforming or underperforming your run differential is over time, usually not in one given year because of variance, but over time it is believed to be a one measure of managerial ability.
And it was one of the justifications that, whether it was said quietly or loudly by Jed, they used to fire David Ross.
I understand all of those things are true. I will also argue this, and I argued it last year. Or is it also inaccurate when it comes to everybody?
It's possible.
Like, it's cool. You can lean on that all you want. Like, I'm supposed to be a certain amount of pounds, too. Am I those pounds? No. That's on me. I make that choice every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have your own agency in this.
I agree that you do. But what I do think is, here's what I think is appropriate. And I don't know, no one else has to use this as a barometer. Similarly to when we were talking about the White Sox, that the White Sox being so bad has left us not talking about day-to-day mistakes that Pedro Grifol has made.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the double steal now, have we? We haven't done it.
Right? With Craig Counsell, I think so much of us have so much respect for him and what he's accomplished, where he's done more with less year after year after year, that we're not taking the forensic view of his decisions on a night in and night out basis.
Yeah, certain people have earned that respect. Or at least have earned the leeway.
But I do think that since this is the team of winning in the margins, he's supposed to be the difference. This is not where the situation that they're in is not his fault. I don't think that he's necessarily made anything better, if that makes sense. And when you're paying someone that much money to be the highest paid manager of the year, you're expecting there to be something. Now, I'm not going to try and run him out of town because I don't think he deserves it. But I do think that as we look at these games and we look more critically, I do think that it's important to ask the question of, why not Patrick Wisdom in that situation? Why did you go with David Bodie last night? What went into the decisions that you made for a team that struggles to score runs? I think that there should be a closer examination of what he does. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think that that's outrageous. I think that that's a real discussion that should be had.
I am going to hold off on a sweeping judgment of Craig Counsell as manager. I'm just saying based on 1 year, but I'm not feeling it. I mean, maybe somebody would say, look, it's a good thing he's here. Maybe there's stuff we don't know. Said, look, if replacement level manager is here, it could be way worse. He's held this thing together in ways you don't even know.
I'm looking forward to him having a stronger voice in this offseason coming up because I like and respect him that much.
Well, it also, we also don't know how much decision he has on personnel.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, we were told there was going to be more.
Yeah.
We asked that directly, and Jed said directly that those conversations happen all the time, that he's never bashful about giving his opinions on those things.
Well, can you see that result yet?
Thanks to Mike Florio. Thanks to Russell Dorsey.
38-30.
I got it. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, and Connor O'Donnell for all that they do.
Shower Chavez!
We will be back tomorrow, but right now it is the rubber match. It is Cubs baseball.
What the heck is going on here?
Against the Milwaukee Brewers.
We got to go, guys. It is Cubs the baseball. Yeah. People are excited. We're here. We're all Cubs fans. We know what we're rooting for. Wrap it up. How do you end this?
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Good to see you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.